Dying Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I've been set free. Oh, I'm Blood Bond. I am Holy Ghost taught. I'm redeemed. I'm free indeed.
Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness coming to you today from my house, my parsonage in Branson, Missouri, where I've been marooned for a while. Just before I was going to go to Christians United for Israel, which was, I guess, Friday, June 10th, this happened. And my little team, who's sitting across from me right now, Jared Houle, my grandson, and his wife, Rivka, and we were just setting up to make radio, the very radio you're hearing right now. And there came a knock on the door, and it was my neighbor, and he said, the Corps of Engineers is going to flood the access road to our houses. You've got to go over to the Taney County land office, road and bridge office, and get a key so that you can come through the farmer's gate. And there began an adventure which has gone till this day. And the day that I'm recording this is July 30th. So you can see that 20 days I've been marooned, but the water is going down, praise the Lord. So now we're making the radio, and I'm probably much better prepared than I was that day, Jared. But I'm going to begin by saying most everyone in the body of Christ is looking for the second coming of the Lord, for the second coming of Jesus. Sister Wilkerson said, there are two golden hooks upon which all history hangs. All other events pale in the light of these two, the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. There were years that the first coming of the Lord was prophecy, but now he came. 2,000 years ago, he came. And he said, after 2 days, a day being 1,000 years and a day, 1,000 years is a day, after 2 days, he'd be back. So we're looking for his coming. The majority of the religious believing Jews who study the word that I know are looking for their Messiah's coming because all the signs point to it. We are now in the final tetrad of a blood moon tetrad. The last full moon eclipse will occur on September 28th, 2015, at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. On September 13, Rosh Hashanah, the New Year's Day of the civil calendar, God's calendar, September 13 is the seventh. It marks the seventh, the end of the seventh year of a seven-year Shemitah cycle, and a new seven-year cycle of a week of years begins. You can find out about these weeks of years. All years are measured in sevens, according to Leviticus 25. The date is marked this year, Rosh Hashanah, September 13, end of one Shemitah cycle, beginning of another. The date is marked by a partial solar eclipse. Genesis 1:14 tells us that these heavenly bodies were set by God to mark the seasons. In our King James Bible, it says the Hebrew word is moed, which is appointed date, appointed time. These heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, and the stars, mark the moeds, the circled dates on God's calendar. In that same verse, Genesis 1:14, he calls them signs. He calls the sun and the moon and the stars signs, and for seasons are moeds, appointed dates, appointed times. God particularly marks out the moon as a marker of the moeds, the appointed times, in Psalm 104:19, which reads, he appointed the moon for seasons. In our King James Bible, however, that word seasons is just as it was in Genesis 1:14. It's the Hebrew word moed. He appointed the moon for moeds. So we see all these signs in the Hebrew calendar, God's calendar. The Shemitah years, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the eclipses. And but there's another sign that Jesus gave, which he gave as the overriding sign of all. When Jesus was asked the question, when, by his disciples, he gave us the number one sign. Jesus said to watch Israel. He followed right after the sign, calling them to watch the first nation, Israel. He told them to watch all the nations. Now, here's how we read it in our King James Bible. Matthew 24:1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. The second temple had been rebuilt by Hosea. We read about it in Zechariah, Hosea. It had been rebuilt. They had come back home, and it was nothing near as grand as the first temple. And so since the end of the Old Testament, it kind of was in, it was just on a hill there in Israel. But there came along King Herod. Now, King Herod, he was a genius. He was a madman. He was a killer. He ordered all the babies to be killed. He had his own wife killed. He had his best friend killed. He had his son killed. But he was a madman, but he was a mad builder, and he was a genius of a builder. So to appease the Jews, he worked on the temple site. Now, and he rebuilt, refurbished the second temple. He made the hill where it was kind of a platform. He built up the sides of it, put walls around it, and made it a 39-acre platform. Plus, he refurbished all the temple. Now, these Jewish boys, when they walked by those stones, and you know, our tourists that we take there today, when we take them down that tunnel and they see all those stones, we always have on the longest stone, which is a stone that's still there from the stones from the temple are down. They're gone, like Jesus said they would be. But the stones of the wall, the western wall, are still standing. And when we have them come there, the guide always has a person in our group go stand at the end of one stone, and then we mark the other end of that stone. It's long enough for an Israeli tank. It's as long as a tank. It's huge. And you wonder, how in the world did they move those stones? They explain it to you before you get out of the quarry, but I still don't know how they did it. But anyway, that's what these Jewish disciples of Jesus were saying. They said, look at those stones. Matthew 24:2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And of course, he's talking about the temple. As they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So first off, they're on the Temple Mount, where the temple is. That's Mount Moriah. But then, verse 3, we see them over on the Mount of Olives. We know in other places in the New Testament, it tells us they often went to the Mount of Olives. So right straight across from the Temple Mount is the Mount of Olives. You have to go the Kidron Valley. You have to cross the Kidron Valley. They walked a bit. They had to walk quite a ways to get over there. Now we find them on the top of the Mount of Olives, and they have two questions. They have carefully posed those questions. I think in my mind's eye, I can see them drop back from Jesus and say, did you hear what he said? Doesn't he know they're going to kill him if he doesn't stop talking about the temple being destroyed? This is dangerous. And so they have carefully worded two questions. I know they don't want to get in trouble, so they say, number one question, tell us when. See, they've got the same question you do. Tell us when shall these things be? These things what? The temple be destroyed. Number two questions, and what shall be the sign? They ask for a sign of your coming and of the end of the age. Now, your coming here, it's a word, parousia, in the Greek, and it always means the coming of an emperor or a king. So one first question, when shall these things be? When will the temple be destroyed? And number two, when are you going to come and set up your earthly kingdom? I think they thought it'd be just happening right one after the other. They had no idea there's going to be 2,000 years between them. The temple would be destroyed in 70 AD. It was by Titus the Roman. And then 2,000 years later, he's going to come back. And he's going to set up an earthly kingdom. There are two carefully posed questions he answered. And you have to, when you're reading Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13, you have to rightly divide which question is he answering. Some people get mixed up on their end time doctrine because they don't rightly divide between the two things, the temple being destroyed and the end of the age. So in Luke 21, he says, they said, how are we going to know when you're coming? Set up your kingdom. He gives them the biggest sign of all. Jesus says, behold the fig tree. The fig tree is Israel. Jesus said, you want to know when I'm coming to set up my kingdom? Keep your eyes on Israel. Number two, all the trees. Behold all the trees. If the fig tree is the nation of Israel, and it is, then all the trees are the nations of Bible prophecy. Jesus said, you watch Israel. You watch the nations. When they shoot forth, when they come into the prophetic place that the prophets said they would, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. He's going to set up his earthly kingdom. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. How do we know that the fig tree here, it's not every place that it's Israel, but here it is. In Mark 11, he's just giving it, when he cursed the fig tree, that's just an example of how you work faith. But here, the fig tree is Israel. And there's a reference to Joel 1:7. It's speaking of an enemy that's coming down into Israel because Israel disobeyed God. And it reads, he hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree. Took all the bark off the fig tree. He has made it clean bare and cast it away. The branches thereof are made white. Now see, the fig tree's been barked here for hundreds of years. And Jesus said, when you see little sprigs coming out on it, when you see it shooting forth into its prophetic place, I'm about to come. Watch the nations also. Which nations? The nations of Old Testament prophecy. The nations of the prophets where God foretold the end from the beginning. 2 Peter 1:16 says, we've not followed cunningly devised fables like fairy tales when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then he begins to tell about being on the Mount of Transfiguration. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice we heard when we were in the Holy Mount. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed unto a light, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. For the prophets of old wrote not by the will of man, but by the holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you watch the fig tree and you watch the nations. We're going to do that this week. We're going to watch particularly Iran. I'm going to give you an offer this week on a book that I helped I edited it for Lester Sumrall many years ago, and its title is Jihad, the Holy War. And we're going to go through Iran's history, its past, its present, and its future. You can get that book for us. Just give us a telephone call at 417-336-4877. Shalom.